又翻嚟非常舞台嘅第二部分 ，May Jane 老师嘅访问啦。咁就各位听众朋友就抱歉啦，我哋今次咧要用英文，因为系老师咧系一位外籍人士，咁佢系唔懂得广东话嘅，咁所以我哋咧就需要用英文去做个访问嘅。咁 OK，May Jane，thanks。OK，now let's continue。May Jane, you have learned many kind of dance before.
Mm-hmm.
I can see that you learned also Chinese dance before,
mm-hmm.
flamenco, and then Latin, and also what? And also Hawaiian dance, and also Chinese,
mm-hmm.
right? How does it, why you pick ballet dance, and then is it something, this kind of dance that helps you to learn ballet dance, or interpret ballet dance?
My most favorite dance, like I love dancing.
Okay.
I love all kinds of dance. I love all, and especially world dance, cultural dance.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you, belly dancing is my favorite.
All right.
And I did some jazz when I was young, and
uh-huh.
I used to compete as a gymnast when I was young before
wow.
I did belly dancing.
Wow.
But then after belly dancing, I like taking the other dance classes, but mm-hmm. I always did it because I thought it would make me a better belly dancer.
All right.
Even when I first saw my very first Chinese dance show in Vancouver,
yes,
and I just saw how beautiful it was and how disciplined and all the different props and all that too,
uh-huh.
I went right away to that teacher, Larita Liang, in Vancouver, and I said, I want to learn how to do Chinese dancing.
Okay, I can't imagine you learn Chinese dancing. How's
I know, it? Even How's my teacher, she said, she kept saying, can you stop moving your hips? I think from that Chinese dance training, then I really got the discipline.
All
because
right.
at the time, like for, because you can imagine, I started belly dancing such a long time ago,
mm-hmm.
and it was almost like, in Vancouver, it was almost like a hippie thing
oh,
to do.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So very open style, freestyle, and
mm-hmm.
Very open. And I think that's why my attitude is like that too, mm-hmm. about sharing this art form.
Mm-hmm.
However, it was so good to have my Chinese dance teacher, my flamenco teacher,
mm-hmm.
Just to give me more discipline.
All right,
to be just
okay.
a bit, you know, pay attention, and we're uh-huh. going to repeat this even more and get it right. And
uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Is it, what about the arm exercise and the finger exercise of the Chinese dance and also flamenco? Can it, would it help your ballet dance?
I think everything helps if, and I and plus I think you have to just know that if you learn all these other disciplines
uh-huh.
then you have to just change your posture back.
All right.
Unless you're doing a fusion, then it would be really cool.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but uh-huh. I think everything helps because if I didn't study flamenco, I think my timing wouldn't be so good.
All right.
Like or even like to play the finger cymbals to do all the
uh-huh.
syncopations.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
If I didn't learn from my feet first and then translate uh-huh. it back up to my arms, I think it would take me longer.
Okay.
Yeah.
By the way, the mm-hmm. the props, the finger cymbals.
Yeah.
Are they that? Is it the one? Because I don't know what it is. Is it the one that used in flamenco dance?
No. Oh. Actually, in flamenco one, I think the most famous prop is are the castanets,
uh-huh,
which
uh-huh.
are made out of wood.
Yes.
But they also have they do play finger cymbals.
Oh.
And it's, again, it's something to do with the fusion from the olden days
uh-huh,
that,
uh-huh.
There is some kind of connecting thread because in Spain was actually occupied by the Moors for about 700
uh-huh,
years.
Uh-huh.
So that's why there is kind of a Middle Eastern influence in that flamenco.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But so anyway, the things we're talking about are like symbols, just like
uh-huh.
giant symbols, but small version that you wear on your
uh-huh.
middle finger and on the thumb. That's the basic position.
Okay.
Yeah.
But actually, to what I know, it's very difficult. It's because your finger is moving up and down. Okay, whereas your hips
yeah.
are moving
side
by
side.
Side.
Yes.
Okay, it's the other way around. That means the upper body is up and down and then the lower body is side by side.
It can be, yeah. So a lot of multitasking. Yeah.
It's really difficult to learn.
It's fun. I think the girl, if they girls, I think something it's kind of like you either love it or hate it.
Mm-hmm.
But the ones that love it, like they get addicted
oh,
to
right.
like all those different rhythms and and how to put it on like challenging steps and techniques at the same time.
Okay. Yeah. By the way, these kind of props, are they, fresh learners, can they use this kind of props, or they have to go for the professionals, performers class when they can use the props?
I like to start the props by level 2.
All right, okay.
Because then the brain is still open to learning things.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and I think just gives it's more, and it's like an appetizer, like it gives the dancers more appetite for, you know, there's way more things to learn belly dancing.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, by the way, in belly dancing, is it many things to learn? Because what I can see, I can only see the head movement or the face, only slightly arm movement.
Mm-hmm.
And what else I mean, like in instead of like the ballet and also the jazz, they got turns, and they got skips, and they got kicks.
Yes.
And these, they are quite, I mean, varieties, in especially to the audience.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then belly dance, they only very small movements.
Yes.
And then what else is it, is it very difficult to learn, are there many?
I think that the thing that I think when you evolve in belly dancing, when you learn the basic techniques, and then the next level would be layering.
All right.
So, like, say if you were learning hip circle, then maybe the next thing you would do would be traveling hip circle.
All right. Okay.
And then once you mastered that, then it would be shimmy and travel and hip circle at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you mastered that, then okay, shimmy, travel, hip circle, and do your snake arms. So you and play the zil. So you keep layering and layering.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It's one of the things you can do.
Okay.
Yeah.
That means that actually there are not quite many, but they have to learn. I mean, long time. If you're going from one stage to the other stage, it takes long time
takes
for you
time.
To practice.
Yeah.
Like isolation, there are different kind of isolation, and then they as you said, you just stay in a position, and then also you get move, travel, and it takes quite a long time to get.
And I think things like if you want to do the veil dance, then one of the most beautiful things that you can do on stage is spinning.
Yes.
And so that means then you have to start to develop your turning, just like you do in ballet or jazz.
Uh-huh,
you have to develop and how many kinds of turns that we can do, right?
Uh-huh,
and we want to do barrel turns and butterfly turns, and there's all kinds of things.
Is it difficult for an adult learner to learn these kind of spins?
I think just like how we approach basics.
Okay.
You know, you start from a single turn, right? Left and right, and then next time double.
Okay.
So just progressively, I think everyone can get things if it's presented to them progressively.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah, systematically.
What is the beauty of belly dance? Back to the original, I mean back to the basic.
Mm-hmm.
What is the beauty?
I think one of the other beauties is that you can dance with your friends.
Can we?
You can dance together. So it's not,
yeah.
And you know, I think it's not like a partner dance, maybe not the same as like ballroom dancing,
yes.
Where you really have to have that kind of partnership. But because this dance, the essence of it, like I said earlier, that it's a woman's dance. And culturally, it originated in the harems.
Okay.
In a Middle Eastern home where the ladies are all together, and
no boys, no male,
unless they're babies.
Right,
the toddlers, right?
Yeah.
And so it's mothers, sisters, aunties, girlfriends. They're all together, and dancing is just like eating and drinking. It's just part of life.
Okay.
Yeah, it's part of the expression. I think you dance when you're happy. You dance when someone from out of town came home, or someone got married. There's dancing all the time.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So I think that's the part that I think really is so special about belly dancing. It really does bring the women together.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then can we say that belly dance is only for women? What about for the men? Do they have the male belly dancer?
Yes, we do. We have male belly dance instructors, and recently I hosted Serkan Tutar, who is a male belly dance instructor, performer, And yeah, and also he teaches Turkish gypsy dance.
Okay.
So we got more culture. So I think it, and then, again, if I said, you know, it came from the harem. Mm. So that means everybody saw belly dancing since they were little.
All right. Even the boys.
And that's why they imitate. Everyone's
all right.
imitating.
All right.
So that's why they kind of, I think, men that, from that primary source, they really understand the dancing.
Okay.
They understand why they're doing it. Yeah.
Okay. Is it more difficult for the males, for the men to do the belly dance? I mean, because they are moving the hips. Are they more difficult for them?
No. I think really the ones that really, it's really their culture, they do it very naturally.
Is it?
And plus without losing, I think the part that they can do without losing their masculinity. Of course, there are some that are very effeminate. I think that's also another discussion.
Uh-huh.
But I think guys from the Middle East, when they dance, they're also fluid. They can do the shimmy, they can do the undulations, but also maintain their masculinity.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What about, apart from Hong Kong,
mm-hmm.
the internationally,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Are there many male belly dancers that are very famous and ever on stage, perform on stage?
There are very popular artists.
Okay.
Yes.
Is it many or just a few?
Many. I would say many, yeah.
Oh,
like,
I see.
Some of my best teachers were male.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then, Mei Jiang, mm-hmm. what do you, since you are teaching, start teaching the ballet dance in Hong Kong 22 years ago,
mm-hmm.
How many ballet dance students and how many ballet dance teachers are now in Hong Kong? You can estimate.
Oh, gosh.
Are there lots of them?
I think there are a lot. I think there are many. There's more than, like, I know about.
Is it? Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, mm-hmm. Okay, and then is there a difference between the students 20 years ago and the students nowadays?
When I first started in Hong Kong,
yeah,
the demographics were mm-hmm. more like maybe 80% foreigner expat and
yes.
then 20% local.
Yeah.
But now, like, I think it must be like at least 90% local and then 10%
right.
another, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are their age group?
Age can be, I think, OL is kind
yes.
of the common denominator.
Uh-huh.
Maybe some young, but we get, I think we're teaching more mature ladies in the daytime.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the teachers in Hong Kong, I found quite many of them are locals.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Is it, are there many?
Yes. More, yeah, more.
Okay, then would that is there in Hong Kong? Is there any official organization that is just like a dance federation of ballet dancers that their kind that the people can source the different? I mean, a list of teachers that's in doing ballet dance.
I think no.
No organization of that.
Yeah, I should start one.
It's quite difficult.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then,
and you know why?
Yeah.
Because everyone's so busy.
All right.
I think everyone is so busy. Like,
mm-hmm.
who has time to run an organization? You know, you have to organize it. You have to have a quorum. You have to
yes.
set up a committee.
Like, yes.
really, who has time?
Yeah.
I think Hong Kong, you know, it's not easy. Everyone works really hard just
okay.
to make their living.
And there's the
yeah,
volunteer
work. They're working
work
long here. Hours. Like
yeah.
most people work like mm-hmm. I talked to the girls at the bank. Oh, we're here mm-hmm. for like we start at 8 in the morning. We leave at 8. So
all
like
right.
what yeah, who has time?
yeah.
You know? Unless you're mm-hmm. retired, I don't know who has time.
All right.
Like for
okay.
me, like I run a dance studio. Like mm-hmm. that's like more than enough.
All right,
yeah,
all right.
Mm-hmm.
Then what about the qualification of the teachers? Is there any recognized international, local and international?
I don't think so.
No?
I don't think
okay.
there is.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
so that's why it's really like, you know, the students have to, you know, they're kind of on their own, like people in Hong
uh-huh.
Kong. Like, they're really on their own, like, because you can get, there's there's so many different levels of teacher, right? There's that at the community, there's at the gym, there's that maybe at the academic institution, or you know, there's just so many levels. And and I think, you know, there's a plus and minus for whatever.
Okay.
Yeah.
But do you find, do what's your comment? Do you think that we need to, I mean, to standardize the qualification of the teacher, of ballet dance teacher? Do you think that we need to do it?
I think it would be good. Yeah, it's a good idea. But however, I think maybe my thinking is not the same as others. It's the same in other professions, not in, only in dancing, where, you know, I study with really good masters in other things, disciplines, and they were so against the standardization.
Yes.
So you've heard it. You have the same sentiment.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. They said, like, you know, even they're saying, like, you know, it's again a totally different discipline. Like, you know, this person got certified, this person didn't, but actually that other person was so
much better.
They could contribute and did something more meaningful than.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm kind of like, oh, you know, open. Yeah.
Yeah. And then how do you train your teachers then? Mei Jian, you have lots of teachers working under you. Then, how do you train them? You have your own systems, or
I
you
think
need
some. Well, you know, the teachers at my studio now, most of them studied with me first. Actually, now let me think. Who's there now? No, I think all of them study with me, so they understand my philosophy.
Okay.
Plus, I really encourage them to take from other instructors.
Oh, right.
I really encourage them to go overseas, or you know, just visiting art. They study with as many teachers as they can to get more perspective.
All right.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is it a must if I want to be a teacher? Then is it a must that to go abroad and then to learn it from, like, to go to Middle East or India to learn from the master there?
Well, I think if you're gonna go abroad, like, maybe you should go to Turkey Egypt, but not India. Unless there is someone that's really, like, knows what they're doing in belly dancing in India. But I think to go with someone that is knowledgeable. I know something, maybe, I think here it's easier. Like, when I used to live in Canada, like, Egypt was so far away.
Yes.
Yeah, but at least we're lucky that, you know, we had instructors in maybe the major cities that we could go and study with.
All right.
Yeah.
And then I found you also invite lots of foreign masters occasionally to Hong Kong.
Yeah, more and
more. And then organizing some, holding some workshop, right?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, is that okay? I mean, is that...
Yeah, so I make that available and... available for everyone to join that. I think the trend now over the past few years that other belly dance instructors are also sponsoring overseas artists, and I think it's good. I'm glad that I don't have to do it myself all the time.
That's great.
It's a lot of improvement.
Yes, improve a lot.
I think that it makes more awareness. And
And then for the students, and do you have any advice for the students and teachers in Hong Kong? What do you think that a ballet dance teacher, what should they do? I mean, in teaching and also in the sense of choreography, do you have any advice to them?
First, like, advice for ballet dance teachers?
Yes.
I think the best thing is, like, to keep learning.
Yes.
I think you can never say, oh, I know it all now. That doesn't exist.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I think, like, and you're asking me about choreography.
Yes. Yes.
I think for choreography, everyone should have the space to create.
All right.
I think it's like... I think you have to know what you call your piece. I think to be careful, if you really want to call it something authentic, then I think you have to really do your research. And I guess, I don't know, I think choreography is like something really personal, and it's something ongoing that it evolves. I know for myself, it keeps changing.
Yes.
I think it keeps changing with who you're working with, or
yeah.
or maybe like what you choreographed, you know, 5 years ago. If you go back yeah. to it,
it changes years by years.
It changes, right?
Yeah. When you're growing up, then you're thinking yeah. in different way, and then that mm-hmm. affects your choreography.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then also the as you said just now, it's the interpretation of music.
Yeah. I think it's like I think you have to really be able to analyze that music uh-huh. first before uh-huh. you can even, at least for what I do, I take the music first.
Okay.
And then create the piece. I don't create a piece and then look for the music.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Then how do you see the future of ballet dance in Hong Kong?
I think belly dancing is here to stay. Uh-huh. It's not a fad.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll just keep growing and mm-hmm. evolving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think there's lots of room.
It's growing for it. Rapidly or slowly?
I think rapidly.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it had a slow start.
Okay.
But now it's...
It's growing in the sense of the numbers of students.
All right.
And what about the teachers? The teachers also, lots and lots more coming?
I see, like, you know... I see just belly dancing offered, you know, everywhere.
Okay.
In every way.
Uh-huh,
and I
uh-huh.
think you said that, it's the right thing. It's like, yeah, we need a federation so that all the teachers can come together.
Yeah.
And share resources or share in, yeah.
Yeah. Like, learn more.
Yeah.
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 And mm-hmm. then, what about in China? I said mm-hmm. I found it in China, in Shanghai.
Mm-hmm.
They do have the ballet group.
Yes.
And then there are about 800 people doing ballet dance.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know whether it's a true figure or not.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think that there is development in China?
I think faster and harder than in Hong Kong. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you have any plan to go up there?
Love to do more on the other side. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's it is. And then this today's thank you very much for Mei Zhang.
Thank you.
And nice to talk to you. And then through this interview, then we know lots more from you about the ballet dance. And hoping next time, then we can have another discussion, another interview in the coming future.
Thank you so much, Grace.
Thank you very much. Thank you. 又到了最后一部分的非常舞台的节目了。今天我们为大家介绍的节目就不是纯舞蹈的表演了，是一个叫做工厂皇后的舞蹈和戏剧的表演的。他们的表演的日期就是3月31号、4月1号和4月2号，地点是在赛马会创意艺术中心黑盒剧场的。当然在这里就是一个戏剧来的，他不过就主要就是都会有些舞蹈睇下嘅，咁佢个名咧叫工厂皇后。点解叫工厂皇后呢？原来咧就60年代咧有位工厂女工，就喺一次舞蹈比赛胜出之后咧，就成为咗工厂皇后，就为佢踏上梦想之旅。咁据我所知咧，这个工厂皇后咧已经唔系第一次公映噶啦，咁咧佢应该系第二次嘅，喺今年之内。咁应该之上一次咧系嘅口碑咧都系非常之好嘅。咁如果各位系有兴趣，系除咗舞蹈睇舞蹈之外咧，仲想睇下戏剧嘅时候咧，不妨去买飞睇下啦。好啦，今个星期嘅非常舞台嘅时间又到此为止咯。咁下个星期我哋再喺非常舞台再同大家见面，拜拜。